In many ways, it does fulfill that mission, but it does so by sacrificing a great deal of the emotional depth of the novel.
Greta Gerwig is trying to make the Little Women a little more feminist, a little more independent. Even though Jo gets married at the end, she is giving almost a mocking note to that with her behavior with her publisher. How was it really?
In the novel, Alcott also gives a mocking note to Jo's marriage. She didn't want Jo to be married at all, but after book one came out in 1868, she got so much fan mail that her publisher, Mr. Niles, said, "You have to have Jo get married." Well, she refused to marry her off to Laurie. That wasn't going to happen. So instead, she created, in her own words, a funny match for Jo, this man who is significantly older than she and who's much kinder than we get to see in this movie.
He's not well developed in this movie.
Many of the characters are not well developed. For example, Marmee is given short shrift. She is the bedrock on which the family life is built, and her daughters almost worship her. They don't want to leave her when they get married. They come to her constantly for advice. She was a very, very strong character based very closely on Alcott's own mother, who was one of the first social workers in Boston. Abba May Alcott was an incredible woman, and she's depicted that way in the novel and not so much in the movie.
Is it difficult to give the emotional depth of the novel to a film?
That's the difference between a long form of art like a novel and a short form like a film. Every director who has tried to turn this long form novel into a film has fallen short. Typically, what is sacrificed are some of the plot points. This movie tried so hard to pick up all the plot points that what it missed was the emotional depth of the character's growth.
The length of the scenes was rather short.
Correct.
How much do you lose then?
You lose a lot. There's several scenes, for example, when Meg is really having a difficult time with her twins, Daisy and Demi. She's having a difficult time competing with Sally Moffat. And we don't understand her motivations. We don't understand why everyone loves Beth so much. She just doesn't have enough screen time to be the deeply spiritual presence in the house that she is in the book. And quite a few scenes like that that you just lose. Another example is the pickled lime scene, which is a very famous one. Most people who've read the book, sometimes that's the only thing they remember. Seeing Amy as an adult surrounded by a bunch of little girls makes no sense. And even worse, it's anachronistic for her palms to be feruled so hard that she's bleeding. It looks more like the teacher whipped her hands than used a ruler. So a combination of not enough depth, because not enough time for the scenes, they would have done far better to cut some of those scenes.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking about the latest iteration of the movie Little Women. There have been four different movies, including one with Elizabeth Taylor way back when. And we're talking with a Louisa May Alcott scholar, Roberta Trites. The director, Greta Gerwig, has talked about how hard she tried to get it to be historically accurate, working very hard, for instance, on how the food was prepared and preparing dishes not only that were prepared back then, but in the same way. Did you see that attention to historical detail succeed or fail?
On the domestic level, much of it succeeded. On a larger scope, they missed some very key and important historical points that would have been very easy to address. For example, the character who's called Mr. Dashwood, who edits the serial thriller newspaper, The Volcano, is a different person than Mr. Niles, who worked at Roberts Brothers, who edited and asked for the original novel of Little Women. To conflate those two is to to say basically the editor of the National Enquirer is the same person as the editor of Atlantic Monthly.
Oh, boy. That's a big difference in tone.
Right, right. The historical accuracy wasn't there with that. They depict a pond across the street from Alcott's house. Well, it is. The picture they have is Orchard House, which is where Alcott wrote Little Women. She had already started to have some financial success as an author, so the family could afford such a large house. She actually wrote it next door in a house called Wayside, which later Nathaniel Hawthorne bought, and it was a much more rundown house. So readers who are aware that the Marches are
poor,
genteel poverty, living in genteel poverty, will understand what's going on with this fancy orchard house that they're living in. But readers who haven't read the book must be thinking, how come these girls keep calling themselves poor with all this fancy food?
It's a big house, yes.
Yeah, big house, fancy food, pretty dresses. And most annoyingly, there is no pond across the street from Orchard House.
These sorts of things are going to really bug a historian.
Yes.
They're going to really bug a person like you who's deeply conversant with Alcott's life. What difference, what utility would they have in the movie, though?
I would prefer to see there's easy shortcuts that could have been taken that would have preserved some of the history more accurately. I think it's far more important to get the publishing history correct than to worry about the food. I also have concerns about the violence these girls engage in. That's very anachronistic. They're roughhousing. They're beating each other up. There's a little bit of slapping. As I mentioned, there's the blood on Amy's hands after the teacher scolds her over the pickled limes. It's giving a false sense of what it meant to live in the 19th century.
Is that false for girls of that class or false for any girl in that era?
False for any girl in that era.
What happened usually?
When a girl was punished?
Or when they had spats with their siblings.
Right. I think that girls who engaged in physical fisticuffs would have been shamed so badly for acting in unfeminine, unladylike ways. Now, I can't speak here to the impoverished living in tenements in New York and Boston, but I can say even there, I think it would have been frowned upon.
The speech that was given by one of Joe's sisters about marriage was apparently written by Meryl Streep, and it wasn't originally in there.
Right.
And marriage is an economic proposition. What would Alcott have thought about that?
Two things. First, Aunt March was indeed married. She's a widow. So the fact that she never married changes the tone of the delivery of that particular message. I think Alcott would not necessarily have objected to the idea of marriage as an economic proposition. That was a kind of a widely held belief in the 19th century. The more unusual thing would be marrying for love and knowing you're going to be poor anyway. So Alcott's family was very influenced by the Transcendentalism movement. Bronson Alcott, Louisa's father, was his closest friend was Ralph Waldo Emerson. And Alcott knew Margaret Fuller quite well. Alcott's first novel, called Moods, was about marriage and whether it should be...
I thought her first novel was a ghost story.
Oh, her first novel was Moods.
Okay.
Her very, very first story was actually was a series of fairy tales called Flower Fables. But she did publish thrillers, lots of ghost stories, lots of drug addicts and kidnapped people and women imprisoned in lunatic asylums. And they're really,
yeehaw,
really gory. They're really, really funny from a 21st century perspective. But Margaret Fuller had very strong views about marriage and its inequality for women. Alcott's mother, Abba, lived out much of that. 5 or 10 years into their marriage, her husband never held a full-time job again, and she was the primary wage earner. So I think the cynicism about marriage was captured accurately. It just wasn't resonant when it was coming from someone who is supposed to be a spinster rather than a widow.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking about the movie Little Women as an adaptation of the great and beloved novel by Louisa May Alcott with Roberta Trites, an Alcott scholar at Illinois State University. Was the movie emotionally satisfying at all?
It would be for many people, yes. I'm not someone who's emotionally satisfied by a lot of children's books that get transformed into movies, partly because that's what literary critics do. We criticize.
We deconstruct them. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Okay. My children used to tease me, have you ever seen a children's movie that you completely liked? And one or two. Shrek was pretty good. But I think it would be emotionally satisfying for people who wanted Joe to be an author first and a wife second.
Would Alcott have recognized or embraced the circular storytelling conventions that Greta Gerwig used? So telling a story backward, telling a story partly in flashbacks and...
No. She was very much... wrote linear narratives. She might have the occasional framed tale where there's a story within the story. And there might be a memory, but she would not have recognized that very postmodern jumping around that was just not a convention in 19th century novel writing.
How does this movie stand up to other Little Women movies?
Well, the 94 version with Susan Sarandon as Marmee overplayed Marmee's feminism. This movie underplayed it. Katharine Hepburn's Joe in the 1930s version was even more raucous and frolicsome and romping around than either the 94 version or the 2019 version. Elizabeth Taylor never worked for me as Amy in the 1940s or 50s version because she's not blonde.
Right.
But it's... all of them fail in different ways. The first three fail in my mind over sacrificing plot to character. This one fails in the exact opposite way. Such a focus on plot, they can't develop the character. But I will give it this one. The 94 version makes me insane because Mr. Bear sells her book manuscript for Joe. Joe doesn't get the pleasure of doing it on her own. She needs a man to do it. And in a movie that's pretending to be this feminist, as the 94 one was, that was absolutely egregious error.
It's a clunker, yeah.
Yeah, it was hugely upsetting. But this time, at least, they let Joe be her own agent in every possible way when it came to her writing.
Okay, this is way too far down in the weeds, but is the 6.5% royalty she finally negotiated or thereabouts, is that accurate for the time?
Yeah, it is. She praised Thomas Niles, her publisher. He offered her $1,000 for the rights, free and clear, which was a lot of money. And she kind of, and he said, really, take the royalty, take the percentage. And she wrote about that incident in her journal. And then later, she penciled in on the side, lucky author, fortunate advice, because she basically became a millionaire for her day based on the sales of book one, Little Women, and book two, Good Wives.
This movie, this latest iteration, will lead some people to the book. Is that a service?
Of course it's a service, Charlie. English professors always want people to read novels. But honestly, it is. Because when people read the book, they will understand better Meg's complexity, Beth's complexity. The movie does a fine job of capturing Amy's complexity. Less so with Joe, honestly. Many critics are saying this is Amy's movie, and I agree with them, but it's Joe's novel. And people who do read the book, and I can't encourage people enough to do so, will find a deep beauty that's very emotionally satisfying that's lacking in the movie.
Roberta Trites, Louisa May Alcott Scholar, Mark Twain Scholar, and English professor, distinguished English professor at Illinois State University. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Charlie.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.